as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is there. God is here. God is everywhere. God is present. It's one of the basic Christian assertions, that articles of faith core to our belief. Belief that God exists, but much more than that. Much more than that. It's a belief and understanding that not only does God exist, but God is present in and to creation. We don't believe in a God who kind of set everything running, kind of wound up the clock and let it go and then disappeared off to watch from a distance or not even bother watching. We believe in a God who is present, actively involved in lives, in creation. At the very beginning of the Bible, in the poetic accounts of creation, we see this. We see God intimately involved in the whole process of creation. We hear God speaking. We see the Spirit hovering over the chaos and darkness, brooding over it as a mother hen broods over the nest. We listen, we overhear the personal interactions between God and human beings, enjoying each other's presence in the garden. And then in perhaps one of those heartbreaking episodes in Scripture, we see human beings hiding from God in shame, hiding from God's presence for the first time. The privilege of enjoying unfettered access to God's presence is lost in rebellion and in sinfulness. And one way of reading the whole narrative, the whole story of Scripture, of the Bible, is the story of our return to that totally free enjoyment of walking in the garden with God, our Creator, in God's presence. You see, our access and our enjoyment of God's presence has been fractured, it's been lost, but God remains. God's presence remains. As the story goes on, we see God talking with people, interacting with people, working in people's lives, promising a new future. At times, like the ones we've been thinking about recently, the times when they were in slavery in Egypt, it felt to the people like God was far away, had gone missing. But God was there listening, hearing their cries, and sending Moses to rescue them. And as they escape through the desert from Egypt, God is there present in these pillars of fire and cloud leading them. And then we get to Exodus 33, and as we read this morning, God says to them, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." And Moses says to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Your presence does not go with us. Do not send us up from here." Now, if we read around the other Bible passages around this time through Exodus and on into the wilderness, we see that in this period of history, God's presence was often felt to be a fearful thing. It was for special people and restricted to special places. The people were afraid of God's presence, perhaps echoes of what happened in Eden. And they asked Moses to meet with God on their behalf. "Now, we're scared. God's scary. You go. You go and meet on God. And when Moses does meet with God, he comes out of the tent of meeting and he's got to wear a veil because his face is shiny, and that scares the people as well. And when the people got to the promised land, after some generations, eventually they build a temple for God, a house, somewhere God could be contained. They wanted God to be in the midst of them, but were still fearful of God's presence. I wonder if anybody here likes chili con carne. You like chili con carne?
Yeah.
A few people. Anybody translate it for me? Chili with meat. Anybody here describe themselves as a carnivore? Yeah? No, we're all vegetarians. No, there are some carnivores out. What does it mean? Meat eater. So, there's a theological word we bandy, we talk about sometimes. Incarnation. Incarnation. That middle syllable, incarnation, that C-A-R-N, it's exactly the same as in chili con carne, or in carnivore. It means meat. It means meat. Incarnation. All it means is that God became meat. God became flesh. We dress it up in theological language, but in the deepest, that's what it means. When Jesus came to live as among us, God became flesh. God became meat. Real, physical, eating, breathing, bleeding meat. And this, why are we talking about this now? This seems like a big jump, doesn't it, from Moses? But this is the next, this is a big step in repairing the damage to the relationship between God and humanity. God's presence came near, moved into the neighborhood, living a created life on earth as one of us, with us. God's presence as close as it could be. Up until that happened, God was there, but in the temple, invisible, not usually accessible to human senses. And Jesus came to change that. He came to show us what the Father is like, to live a truly godly life as he is, human and divine, God and flesh. God was no longer invisible, but could be seen, could be heard, could be interacted with, could be touched. People reached out and touched him, and he reached out and touched them. We have eyewitness recordings of these meetings in the Gospels. They are a record of God's presence in flesh here on earth, among us as one of us. But that presence, that didn't last forever. For Jesus to complete the restoration of that relationship between God and humanity, he had to die, to become dead meat, before being raised to life again and to ascend to heaven. So what does that mean for God's presence with us now? Well, what did Ian read for us in John's account of Jesus' life? What did Jesus promise his friends and his followers? I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with all God's people now and forever. It's not restricted to special places or special people. It's not restricted to the physical time and location of Jesus being on earth. God's presence is everywhere, available to all now by the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is there. God is here. God is everywhere. God is present. So what does that mean for us today in our daily life? Well, maybe at times we're a bit like Adam and Eve in that garden. Perhaps we're echoing many of the Old Testament people of God, and even the psalmist who writes, "Where can I hide from your presence? Sometimes we need to face the reality that actually, sometimes we want to hide from God. Or we'd rather, if we're honest, God wasn't there. And there are things that we want to do that a sense of God's presence might make us feel guilty about doing. Of course, the good news of Jesus' incarnation, as we already said this morning, is we don't have to be ashamed or live in guilt. We can be free from that as we say sorry, as we repent, as we turn away from those things and are forgiven. All we have to do is to step out from that hiding place, to recognize that all of that is just self-justification, all those excuses, it's just sowing fig leaves. Pretty pointless. Leave that behind and come to the one who can heal us and forgive us and restore us. And if there are times when we feel like a sense of God's presence is awkward or going to cramp our style, then maybe that awareness can help us to avoid falling into temptation and not doing what we know we ought not to be doing. Or perhaps we feel a bit like Moses, on the brink of a new phase of life, on the brink of a journey, on the brink of something new. We talked a little bit last week about the challenges and blessings of trusting God in times of change. If you weren't around, you can check it out on the Facebook and YouTube. But I just perhaps this morning like to draw out three elements from the conversation that Moses and God had that we might want to reflect on and draw on. And the first is it's God's statement that link God's presence and rest. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, God says. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I wonder how many of us sometimes fall into the mindset of, Jesus is coming, look busy. What does God say? I am here. Rest. Moses' response to God is so important. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. The sense is that Moses doesn't want to get ahead of God, but only to move when God moves. Now, if you read through the story of the journey in the desert, the people of God, we talked about the fiery, cloudy pillar that was leading them. Every so often it would come to rest, it would stop moving, and the people would set up camp. And then they would camp there and they would wait. And wait. And wait until the pillar of cloud started moving again. Then they'd quickly pack up all their tents and they'd head off again until it stopped. And then they'd camp. And then they'd wait. They only went where and when God led them. Now, you may have a personal one. I don't have a fiery, cloudy pillar. I'm suspecting most of us don't. But we do have the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us that. And we can pray, asking God to help us keep in step with the Spirit in all that we do. Jesus said, didn't he? I only do what I see my Father do. I only go where my Father sent me. Your presence does not go with us. Do not send us up from here. And then God's reply. I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. I believe that what God said to Moses on that day, he says to each one of us today. I know you by name. know you by name. God is not far away, looking down on the world and seeing a mass of people. Kind of humanity as this blob. God sees each one of us. You are seen and known by God. God knows your name and calls you closer into the embrace of your Creator, your Father, your Redeemer, your guide. God is here. I'm going to spend a few minutes in quiet now. In a little while, the musicians are going to come lead us in some worship, but before we do that, we're going to have some quiet. Have the opportunity to open ourselves up to the awareness of the presence of God. So if it would help you to close your eyes, I invite you to do that. And imagine yourself in the presence of God. That might be in God's throne room. It might be walking along the road with Jesus, sat in a boat with Jesus, fishing with Jesus. It might be a sense of the wind or the Spirit blowing around you. Lord God, as we open our imaginations to the work of your Spirit this morning, would you reveal your presence to us? Isn't something we have to struggle with or wrestle with. God's presence is a restful presence. Just allow the Spirit to open up avenues of thought and wrestle with it. Be aware of God's gaze on you. God's loving gaze. God's love for you. God's favor upon you. Hear God say your name with affection. Let's rest in God's presence. musicians are going to come up and begin to lead us gently in the sung worship.